Beloved brethren, now I'm going to ask Brother Valenty to render this most important service to the newly consecrated and to all of us. So please, Brother Valenty. First, brethren, I would ask to address you, dear brothers and sister. This is an important moment in your life, a tipping point, a pivotal point in your life. The moment when you make a decision for life and for eternity. I am also addressing you, dear beloved in the Lord, brothers and sisters in the audience. I am speaking to all of you, friends, young people among us, because the subject which we are going to consider now is not only for those four individuals who took this place in front of us. The topic concerns each one of us. As you look at the convention program and the book of discourses which was printed for this occasion, you're asking yourself, why am I here? Today, it was supposed to be the service rendered by Brother Henri Paul from France. I had to take him place. And the brethren asked me to substitute this service for this service. But before I do, I want to give a moment to Brother Henri Paul from France, who wanted to speak briefly to the friends who are sitting here in front of us. Dear brothers and sisters, dear candidates for baptism, dear friends of the truth, may the peace of God be with you, and may the Lord Eternal bless the baptism service that is about to take place now. My wife and I had hoped to be among you at this international conference, but some health problems for both of us led us to cancellation of this trip. I was scheduled to do this service, but I know that the brother who is going to do it for me will do it much better than I can. To the candidates, I would say the decision you have made is the best one. Today, you want to show your commitment publicly before all of us, the witnesses. This choice, which must be a thoughtful choice, according to the world's advice, this choice is the choice which you make consciously. According to the Lord's advice from the Gospel of Luke 14:28-33, you have certainly made it some time ago. You have already committed yourself to the service of God and made a covenant in secret by sacrifice. Now, you must stand firm until the end of the race. To do this, you must grow in sanctification, day by day.
Pour cela, vous devez croître dans la sanctification, jour après jour.
In the Gospel of John 17:17, the Lord said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So you have everything in the Bible that contributes to your sanctification. Our Lord, having returned for the second time, makes you sit at his table, according to Luke 12:37, and gives you food through the faithful and prudent servant, Brother Russell. Do not neglect this abundant food, which is necessary and sufficient to go to the end of your course. To grow in the likeness of the Master, you will be tested. Do not shrink from the test. If you do not have trials, it would be worrying for you, because all those who reach the end of the road must be tested, according to 2 Timothy 3:12. Take comfort in this fact that the trials are within the limits of what you can bear, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and that the Lord is always, always with those who are faithful to Him. We are approaching the final phase of distress, and we know that the last members we want to be will have to endure the second attack of the nominal world. Probe the prophecies about this time and what is to come, so that you will have a strong faith to stand until your last breath. Let us walk together to victory and to the promised reward. Great is the work that awaits us beyond the veil. Amen. Thank you, Brother Henry, for these beautiful wishes, for those candidates, for those who devoted their life to the Lord, and for your good wishes for all of us gathered here. We will attempt in some of our remarks to relate to the verses you also mentioned, to the thoughts you gave us. I would like to encourage you to look into your books with the printed discourses, so that you can look at what Brother Henri wanted to tell us. Me, myself, I was looking through those talks in the book, and I noticed that all these talks were leading towards one way. All the thoughts were indicating the way how we can follow Jesus. They were showing us the way of sacrifice, self-denial. And even this last talk, which we just heard, was in a way a beautiful introduction to the remarks I would like to make now. Today, we are going to focus our attention on some important places in the world, Word of God, related to baptism. We wouldn't have enough time to touch upon all the details. So, if any of you have any questions related, I would like to invite you to a conversation after the talk as well. The International Gathering of God's People is a special place that remains forever in our memories. Meetings like these influence our lives, our decisions, and affect not only our individual lives in the present, but also our spiritual life for all eternity. Why? Because here the Word of God is being read and proclaimed. The prophet Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 states the following: "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What we observe today, what we witness today, this event, is the fulfillment of these words of Prophet Isaiah. The word was not void. In the example of those four individuals, the word was effective. Apostle Paul adds to this and shows us a deeper appreciation of the Old Testament prophet. In the letter to Hebrews 4:12 and verse 13, we read, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." This word of God permeates your emotions, hearts, feelings, and thoughts. It kindled a spark of faith and hope in you, because the Lord God Himself, choosing a bride for His Son, saw something beautiful and valuable in you. Apostle Peter, many years back, speaking about the beauty of women, and in this case, we understand about the bride of Christ in 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 2 and through 4. So, with Apostle Paul, "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Learning God's word, when we begin to believe in Him, the sanctifying effects of these words impact our minds, our lives. The words are changing our hearts, our behavior, our conduct, bring us closer to God and makes us totally different people. Getting closer to God means we thirst after His righteousness. Each one of us undergoes a personal conversion, no matter what family or church, family he grew up in. Regardless if it was a Christian family which honored the word of God or not. Because even living in the Christian family, each one of us has to go through that individual personal transformation of heart. You don't come to the harmony and fellowship with the Lord through genetics, family, but through the word and prayer. And also through personal transformation. Where does this great power come from? This unstoppable desire to follow the Lord Jesus? It is a total devotion, pressure or persuasion from others What makes us think about this important step to take this seat? And I want to tell you to see that there are still empty seats here. Maybe someone thinking about this and analyzing his life, the Lord's goodness, can always make this decision even now to come forward. When we start believing in our Jesus, our Redeemer, we turn away from the sinful is crowned with the hope of heavenly calling. We strongly desire to turn away from our sins. Turning away from sin, believing in Jesus, we reach and benefit from justification, atonement with God, the Lord God Himself. Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2 states that explicitly. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the state of peace with God, the state of justification and fellowship with the Lord God reveals to us beautiful deep secrets which were covered through ages, centuries and generations and now are revealed only to His saints. The things which were hidden in prophecies and parables. The mysteries which Apostle Paul is explaining to us because he states that he is the first to whom this mystery was revealed. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25-28. Apostle Paul says, whereof I am made a minister of this church, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching and admonishing every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Awakens in us a feeling of reciprocity and thankfulness. The Lord Jesus Himself stated, speaking of Himself, parable from Matthew 13, verses 45-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He sold everything he had, gave up his pre-human existence, and all of this for this precious pearl, which we also have to our disposal. The Lord reveals to us mystery about the one body and its head, and the mutual love found in marriage of bride and groom, the church being his body. Marriage is a beautiful picture which Apostle Paul is using to explain this relationship, because as humans, we humans understand what we can touch and see and experience. So in the books to Ephesians, chapter 5, from verse 23 through 25, we read the words of Apostle St. Paul. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is a great mystery, important statement, who in the physical sense, as humans, we can understand. But Apostle Paul speaks about a higher love which exists between Christ and his bride, so that he gave up his own life. The Song of Solomon mentioned earlier also shows the same picture. This love is greater than the grave. It is a true love. The 32 verse, that's how Apostle Paul ends this statement. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. The Lord assures us of his love for us and explains it by other metaphors. Example of a good shepherd comes to mind from John 10:11. I am, the Lord says, the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This love of the Lord to his followers, to his bride, is of special quality, importance, and beauty, which we have many scriptures to witness about. On the other hand, the Lord states in John 10:3 that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This feeling of mutual love for the bridegroom causes us to make unpopular decisions, sometimes heroic decisions, against the established norms. Who these days voluntarily gives up their privileges, their comfortable life in the world, achievements, and willingly sacrifice themselves to suffer, to endure persecution, and to die with Christ? Who gives up privileges, comfort of life, and wants to exchange it for persecutions, the experiences which we encounter. Who wants to die? Voluntarily for Christ's sake. Apostle Paul in 2nd Epistle to Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's this great love in action. This great love makes us a spectacle for the world, for the most close family members, neighbors, those who work with us. They cannot comprehend why. Why do we do this? They don't understand. This completely different way of living. The way which was once brought to light by our Lord and his apostles, we become a spectacle, as apostle states, for the world and even for angels. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as if it were appointed to death. But we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. The way of our Lord, following him means rendering ourselves a living sacrifice. In a symbolic sense, that means taking on the cross. We can follow the Lord. We can be called after his name, but never be ready to reach for our own cross. The Lord stated in Luke 14, 27 and 33, we quote, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever, verse 33, who cannot forsaken all that he had, cannot be my disciple. Is the way of sacrifice, following the Lord, equal with following a beautiful cause and ideology? I would say so. Being invited to cooperate in the implementation of God's plan, to be there with the Father and his Son, to implement his plan in the work of restoration of the whole world, is a privilege. But there is more. When we give up our human life, in exchange, the Lord gives us spiritual life and the glory with the Lord, participation in his glory. That is even more beautiful concept. And there are many scriptures which state that. Let me quote one from 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. We quote, beloved, Now are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that had this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. This beautiful concept, idea, the love to the Lord are cause of this transformation of our lives. The time of the church's completion, their joyful reunion with Christ, is yet to come. And the proof that the door to the high calling is not yet closed, in addition to many Bible prophecies we can quote, but that would be for another time. There's another proof. One of the prophecies was already stated and quoted during this convention, which is the proof of the parousia of our Lord. This is the fig tree or the nation of Israel. So, brethren, one witness, extremely important, visible, which you don't have to exercise much faith to see it, because you can see it was fulfilled, realized, and is a proof of the closeness of the kingdom. On the other hand, it is still showing us that the door to So I think that we see this witness. And I hope, dear brothers and sisters, that this powerful testimony is a witness for you too. And that's why you took this position and the seat in front of us. Today's event, on the other hand, for us living, a proof that the Lord God is still calling. If the Lord God was not calling humans, those seats would go unfilled. The baptism is, in a way, an engagement ceremony. As Apostle states in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." The time of engagement and the wedding feast in front of us, because the wedding feast of the Lamb will take place when the bride is complete, as we read in Revelation chapter 18. The Lord God made man in such a way that man has the need to show the feelings of his heart outwardly. To experience these feelings of joy or sadness with those who are closest to him. That's the need to show our inner life. You, dear candidates, express this need and desire of what took place earlier in your own hearts. I don't know when, but you made this decision and you seized this opportunity to show it in front of many witnesses, to make a statement and to say loudly, the Lord Jesus Christ from now on is my Lord. That's an extremely important confession. Because baptism is a public confession, public manifestation in front of many witnesses, as Apostle Paul stated in this epistle to Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and should believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Many people believe in Jesus Christ. They try to live according to his law. They are good, honorable people, good friends of ours. It is really pleasant to be with such good friends. But there is something which prevents them from entering the way of sacrifice to follow Jesus. In the times of our Lord, it took an effort and was just like this. So John, Gospel of John 12:42-43, we read, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Water baptism. What does this mean? It's the confirmation of our consecration. Confirmation of our individual, private conversation with the Lord God himself and our Lord Jesus made in our hearts. The water baptism is a public confirmation of our faith in Jesus Christ. The water baptism represents the reality of baptism in life. It's not a ritual which makes you holy at once. It's the symbolism of the baptism which takes place in life. As the immersion in water represents the death of human will, and coming from the water is the raising in the new life of in Jesus Christ. That's the new reality, which starts with the baptism by water and lasts until the end of our lives. Water baptism opens the way to transformation of our fleshly mind and develops in us a spiritual creation. The Lord said to one of the disciples of the teachers of Israel, John 3:5. Today, verily, verily, I say unto you that those who are not born of the water and the Spirit cannot enter into the kingdom. We must be born of water and Spirit to have part in the kingdom of heaven. This baptism is not a one-time event. Immersion and raising into new life represents the entire lifetime of a human doing, going this way. Let's pay attention to the words of our Lord. Mark 10:38. You don't know what you ask for. Can you be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized, or be participate in this? So the answer, we can and we want to. Then Jesus added, the cup which I drink, thou shalt drink as well, and the baptism which I am being baptized, you will be baptized as well. The Lord states here that this is not the one time, but the process, the lifetime lasting process. Apostle Paul, Ephesians 4 and 5 states that there is one baptism, one faith. The scripture mentions different types of baptism. There's only one hope of the high calling. There's no two other callings. Today there's only one calling, the calling to follow in His footsteps and participate in kingdom of heaven. This one baptism is the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, which is witnessed by many places in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, Apostle Paul, Peter. Apostle Paul, when he was explaining the baptism in Christ, the name of Christ, in Romans 6, from 3 states. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Accordingly to this statement, as much as we mortify the old man, our fleshly nature, the more we develop as new creatures. Brother Henri Pou mentioned Apostle James 1:18 adds to this: He beget us with the word of truth to be the first fruits of His creatures. He, the Lord God, begets us with the word of truth to a new life, which is the beginning of new nature. And the first fruits of this creature which is accomplished through his Spirit. Apostles in many places indicated and stressed how we should conduct our lives so that the reality of the baptism brings us to victory. Today, for you, dear brethren, we can safely state, as brother mentioned earlier, not only promises and hopes are going to accompany you on this way, but you will also have experiences. And the victory, which is at the end of this road, has to be accomplished through victorious passage, through experiences which we endure with patience and faithfulness. So thus, before we continue with the immersion, I would like to ask you two questions, and I would like you to get up so that all brethren who are witnessing this event can hear your answer. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through the faith in Him, you can achieve the remission of sins? Do you believe that? My second question: is your decision to follow in His footsteps, to be immersed, is your free will own decision? Thank you. If this is so, you heard it, brethren. I heard it. Today, we welcome in our family four new members. We will baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe with your whole heart, there is no obstacles for you. And I will be the first one to welcome you and to wish you the wishes that are the most important. May the good Lord God accept you in this family, gives you a special care, as He always gives to His children. May He always give you strength, faith, and that this day may bring you to certain victory. Sister Teodora, I wish this day will remain the most important day in your life. From this moment on, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ will conduct you closer to the Father, so that you may find this enriching, fulfilling, that the Lord, that His Spirit may fill your heart and faithfully bring you to victory, which I wish you all heartily. Brother Mirosław, I wish you too the wonderful victory on this Brother Daniel, in your young age, you made a critical decision to follow in a new, wonderful way. You will need strength, enforcement, faith. I wish the Lord provides that And we, as your brethren, will assist you too, so that you make your calling and election sure. Brother Bartosz, I have been fellowshipping with you recently, watching you, and I noticed how you zealously serve the Lord. There is no greater joy than to see this in young people. May the Lord bless your zeal, your attempts, so this baptism bring you to victory. I wish you this from the bottom of my heart. Now, we are going to ask Brother Hubert Lipka to continue the service. I cannot say much more from what brother said. From the bottom of my heart, I wish you victory. There is nothing more beautiful, more important. May the Lord give you strength. Brethren, same to you. May the Lord give you strength. Dear brethren, how do we proceed from here? Would you like us to proceed to the immersion, and maybe after that others will have an opportunity to wish our new brethren the best wishes? So, brethren, the choir and the family members, we would like to invite you to follow us to the immersion service.
A teraz będziemy śpiewać razem pieśń numer 9 w międzynarodowym pieśni. Numer 14 po polsku i też po rumunsku. Deci, numărul 14 în Cartea de Cântări Română.
We're going to continue singing here in the main hall and we're going to sing the hymns which are displayed now. Full surrender.
Moją jest my. Thank you. Grazie Danielu. Ja Ciebie uczczę w imieniu Ojca i Syna i Ducha Świętego z tego upoważnienia śmierć Jezusa Chrystusa. Ja Ciebie chrzczę w imię Ojca, Syna i Ducha Świętego z tego upoważnienia śmierć Jezusa Chrystusa.
Dear brethren, let's close this service with the word of prayer. Beloved Father, We come to Thee in this place to ask Your blessing upon those dear brethren who devoted their life to Thee. We are thankful for this opportunity of following in His footsteps. Beloved Father, grant them victory. Bless your intentions which they express today in front of us. We commit them to your guidance and loving hands as they are in the beginning of the new way of life. Let them remember this day throughout their life, and they devoted every aspect of it to Thee. Dear Lord, we ask for them, not only now, that we may rejoice with them in their joy, but that you may also be with them in those moments which will be more difficult, but necessary for their growth. Do not abandon them. Give us also wisdom how we can assist them, so that they may reach victory. We also ask for all of us, those who made this decision earlier in life, help us to be faithful, to continue in His footsteps, to be victorious in all our experiences, that we may faithfully fulfill this commitment which was started by our Lord. Give us strength so that we can endure in those last days especially and fulfill it until the end. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Dear brethren, let's return to the main hall, but this service will be concluded, and if there are wishes for our candidates, the brethren in the main meeting hall would be able to convey their